Hey, everybody. Hey, if we haven't met yet, my name is Stephen. I'm the East Location pastor here. And last week, we got to kick off a brand new sermon series called Clarity. And in this series, we're taking some of these big theological words that can feel confusing or super churchy, and we're asking, what do they actually mean for real life? And today, before I tell you the word that we're going to be looking at, I want to ask you a question. Because I think I'm not the only one who's been here. Have you ever let someone help you with something, knowing full well that they were going to slow you down, get it wrong, and probably make the whole thing harder? You ever done that? Yeah, be honest with yourself. We're in church, okay? That's all right. Well, when my daughter Quinn was 3 years old, I was putting together one of those Walmart dressers, like that. Yeah, you know the kind. It probably should say IKEA on it instead. The box weighs about 150 pounds. There's hundreds of pieces that come with this thing. And the instructions look like they were drawn by someone who's never actually built furniture in their life. Well, I'm sitting on the living room floor, and I've got everything organized, you know, A, B, C, everything there. And I'm starting to make progress. And then Quinn comes in at this age. Like I said, she was about three. And she says, "Dad, can I help?" And every parent knows this moment, right? You could say yes, and then turn this 45-minute project into a two-hour project, or you can say no, and then watch that little kid's face fall. And so I did what every dad should do. I was like, yeah, hop in here. Let's do this. I said yes. So she handed me the wrong pieces with complete confidence. She was trying to use that tiny little screwdriver that comes with the kit, like a hammer. And she was holding the flashlight pointed at the ceiling instead of at the dresser when I was trying to work on the drawers that are in there. She slowed everything down for this process. But let me tell you something. I wouldn't trade those 2 hours for anything, because that afternoon was never really about the dresser. It was about her being close to me and me wanting to spend time with her. You see, Quinn wasn't trying to earn being my daughter by helping me out. She knew that she was already my daughter. She wasn't trying to convince me to love her. I already did. She simply just wanted to stay close to her dad, stay close to her father. And I think that's exactly what our Heavenly Father is doing with us today. Because God doesn't invite us into his work because because he needs our help. He definitely doesn't need our help. He invites us in because he wants us. He wants relationship with us before productivity. He wants sons and daughters before he wants workers. Church, he wants us close. And that's why our word for the year matters so much, faithful. You know, faithfulness is staying close to Jesus. And as we stay close to Jesus, he then begins making us holy. And that's where holiness comes in. Now, if I asked most of us to define holiness today, we'd probably hear some different things, like maybe the word pure. We'd hear things like perfect, clean living. When I was growing up, I thought holiness was don't drink, don't chew, don't go with girls who do. That was it. You were good after that. But that word holiness means set apart, right? It means different, dedicated to God. So holiness isn't fundamentally just this checklist of do's and don'ts. It's a state of belonging, of being marked as different because you belong to someone. And here's the danger, and I think a lot of us hear this word holiness as a word of performance. But Quinn's story reminds us that holiness doesn't begin with proving. Holiness begins with belonging. And so today we're going to be opening up to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 13 through 16. If you got your Bible, go ahead and do that now. Open up to 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 through 16. And this is a passage where the Apostle Peter is writing to scattered, suffering Christians. And then he calls them and he calls us to be holy. But watch closely as we walk through this portion of scripture, because Peter doesn't start with behavior modification here, okay? He starts with identity. He starts with who God has already made us to be. And then naturally that behavior flows out like water flowing downhill. So listen to the text here. Listen to this. It says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope fully on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. That's a lot of holies. But notice the word first that is right off the bat in this. It's the word therefore, right at the start of verse 13, okay? And anytime you see that word therefore, we need to ask ourselves, what is it therefore? Peter doesn't just show up and say, hey, be holy, cool, see you later, I'm out. No, he spends the first 12 verses saying, church, this is who you are now. You have been saved. You have been adopted. God is holding on to you. And then he says, therefore, be holy. That's important because God always tells you who you are before he tells you how to live, okay? Now, in this scripture, in this passage, there are three movements here. And I want to walk us through them. And because Peter is going to show us where holiness begins, he's gonna show us what we leave behind, and then he's gonna show us what we are called to become, okay? So let's look at verse 13. Verse 13 says this. It says, therefore, with minds that are alert, be fully sober, set your hope fully on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. What strikes me so much right here is what Peter does not say first. He doesn't say, be holy, right? He doesn't say, stop sinning. He doesn't say, oh, try harder, get your act together. No, the first thing that he talks about is your mind. Do you see that? Older translations might say it a little different. The New King James Version says it this way. It says, gird up the loins of your mind. Okay, now I know that sounds like something you should not Google on the church Wi-Fi, okay? But that's actually a really helpful picture for us today. And in Peter's day, people wore these long robes, and they were great for sitting around, walking through town, you know, sharing a meal with people. But if you needed to run or work, maybe fight or travel quickly, that robe is gonna trip you up pretty quick. And so what you would do is you would gather up your robe, you would take it and you would tuck it into your belt. And that was the posture of someone getting ready for action. I really like how Eugene Peterson said it in the message. He said, so roll up your sleeves, get your head in the game, and be totally ready. Man, right there, that's the picture that Peter is painting. He's saying, hey, get your head in the game. Don't let your mind drift to wherever your feelings are, whatever your fears or the culture wants to take you. Don't do that, but be intentional. Get your mind ready. Because this battle for holiness is won or lost long before it reaches our hands and our feet, okay? It starts with what's between your ears. Because whatever captures your mind will eventually direct your life. Whatever captures your mind will eventually direct your life. That is why holiness isn't just about trying harder. It's about learning to think differently. It's waking up every single day, reminding yourself that, hey, this is who Jesus is. This is who he's made me to be. So today, I'm going to live from that identity instead of chasing my old identity. That's what Peter starts with. And then look what he says next. He says, be fully sober. Be fully sober. Now, yeah, that includes staying sober from things like drugs and alcohol, but Peter is talking about more than that in this verse, okay? He's talking about spiritual clarity. You know what happens when your mind's not right? Like, you get in a fog. And that's what he's saying. He's like, don't let your mind get into a fog because fear, anxiety, comparison, maybe the endless scrolling on your phone, maybe you're a chronic people pleaser like I am, that stuff can put your mind into a fog. And then Peter's saying, hey, wake up, pay attention. I need you to see what's true. Because a lot of times we don't know. We start saying, well, what is true? Man, are my feelings true? Well, our feelings are real, but they're not always from the Lord. You know, there was an old church lady back home who she used to say, feelings are indicators, not dictators. Yeah, write that down. Feelings are indicators, not dictators. Always listen to God before you listen to your feelings. Well, what about your fears? Are your fears true? Your fears are loud often, aren't they? But they are not always true. Well, what about your past? What about my past? Well, yeah, your past is part of your story, but it doesn't get to name who you are anymore. Only Jesus does. So what does Peter say here? He says, prepare your minds for action. Be sober-minded. Get clear about the reality, right? And then he tells us where to put our hope. Check this out. He says, set your hope fully on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. There's one word in there that truly matters. It's the word fully. Peter doesn't say put some of your hope in Jesus and then keep a little bit of hope in your own performance just in case Jesus screws it up. No. Or he's not even saying hope that you have enough willpower to get through this week. Or maybe hope you can finally get your act together because you keep screwing up. He doesn't say any of that. He says, set your hope fully on grace. Because if you hear those words, be holy, and your hope is in your own willpower, this command will crush you, church. But if your hope is in the grace that only Jesus can give, then holiness becomes something totally different. This is not God saying, hey, if you try harder, I will love you. No, this is your Father in heaven saying, you're already mine. So now live like it. Live like who you are. And that's why Peter starts with the mind. Because a holy life doesn't begin with stronger willpower. It begins with redirected hope, our hope in Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, that identity that Peter just grounded us in verse 13, it starts to get even more specific as he goes into verse 14. Check this out. It says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. Did you notice what Peter calls them right off the bat? Children. His children. God's children. He doesn't say, hey, get your life together and then you can be my kid. No, he says, you're my child, now live like it. And then Peter goes on to say, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. And that word conform there, that means to be pressed deeply into a mold. Right? It's the picture of like outside pressure shaping you into something that no longer fits who you are. So in other words, your old life doesn't get to tell you who you are anymore because that's not you anymore. That's not who you are. It's like trying to squeeze back into clothes that you've already outgrown. Or you guys seen Pastor Levi. Picture Pastor Levi trying to put on an outfit from Baby Gap. It ain't gonna work. He's gonna shred it. But at one time, those clothes may have fit, but they don't fit now. And what Peter is saying, he's saying, stop trying to put on, stop trying to wear what Jesus has already brought you out of. Don't put on the old. Jesus died so that you could put on the new. And then he goes on to say that those desires, they belonged to a different time. A time when you lived in what? Ignorance. A time when you lived in ignorance. And that phrase matters because Peter's not just saying, hey, you did bad things because you didn't have enough information. You didn't know better. No, he's talking about your life before Jesus opened your eyes, okay? He's talking about before you knew grace, before you knew God as your Father, before you knew who you were in Jesus Christ. Back then, your desires were shaped by whatever mold or whatever the world was pressing onto you. You know, for some of us, that mold was the need to just prove ourselves. I think for others, it was the desire to maybe numb pain that we have, or to just go along with what everybody else was doing in the world. And Peter's telling us, he says, hey, that was ignorance. But it's not ignorance anymore. Do you know why? Because you know who Jesus is now. You know what he has done for you. You know now who you are. So do not keep living like your old life gets to name you. That's the key here. Church, Peter is not saying stop sinning so that God will make you his child. He's saying because God has made you his child, stop living like you're still an orphan. Because you're not an orphan. You are adopted by the true God, the true King. This reminds me of an old story about St. Augustine. St. Augustine, he became a follower of Jesus, but he was also a theologian and a philosopher. He lived around 400 AD. But in Augustine's BC days, his before Christ days, he lived a pretty wild life. This dude was brilliant, but he was so deeply tangled up in his sin and in lust. And then one day, Jesus gets a hold of his heart, and boom, he changes him forever. And then one day, after this conversion happens, Augustine, he's walking through town. When a woman from his former life recognized him, and she starts calling out, she's like, Augustine! And he keeps walking. And she calls again. She's like, Augustine, it is I. So finally, Augustine stops. He turns around and looks at her, and he said, yes, I know it is you, but it is not I. That is a powerful line. He wasn't saying, lady, I don't know you anymore. He's saying, that man that you used to know is not who I am anymore, because Jesus Christ had changed him. That, church, is holiness. Jesus making us to become more like him. Holiness is not pretending to be better. It's Jesus making you new. Jesus making you belong to him. Jesus making you reflect the beauty of God the Father. It's him changing you so deeply that the old patterns no longer get the final word over your life. So you may still feel the pull of the old life. You may still hear that old voice, right? But in Christ, that's not who you are anymore. So don't go back to living like you don't know the truth. It's important to remember who you are, but it's more important to remember whose you are. So that's verse 14. It tells us what we don't go back to, okay? We don't go back to the old mold. We don't keep letting the old life tell us who we are. But Peter doesn't just tell us what we've been freed from. He now tells us what we've been called to, okay? So let's look at verses 15 and 16. It says this, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. That command there, be holy, man, that can feel super heavy depending on your background, right? For some of us, I think that holiness just sounds like a checklist, right? So, hey, you keep the list, all right, God's happy, cool. You break the list, ooh, God's not happy. He gives you the Caesar thumb, right? So you spend your whole life wondering, okay, where do I stand with him? Where do I stand with God? But that's not what Peter's doing here. Remember the order, church. I can't say this enough. Peter has already told us to set our hope where? Fully on the grace of Jesus Christ. He's already called us children. He's already reminded us that we're not who we used to be. And then after all of that, he says, be holy. You see, holiness isn't the way into the family. Holiness is the family resemblance. Now, that might sound kind of weird, but let me unpack this for you a little bit. God's not saying, clean yourself up so I can claim you. He's saying, I have claimed you. You belong to me. Now let your life begin to look like your Father. As I was writing this story, or this sermon, that idea of belonging and resembling became super real to me when Quinn was born. When she was born, the doctors decided that she needed to spend some time in the NICU. I didn't have the actual bracelet, but apparently AI can make it look like it's a real bracelet, so that's pretty cool. But she had to spend some time in the NICU. She was having some heart issues where things weren't fully connected yet, and when she would cry, she would start to turn blue around her lips, and then it would start to spread. As a first-time dad, that's super scary. And so we had this brief, beautiful moment where we got to hold our little girl. And then they carried her away for tests. And I remember standing there thinking, man, there are a lot of babies in that unit. And maybe this is a strange thought, but I was thinking, how do hospitals make sure they don't mix up the babies? They all look alike. Now, I know there's systems for this, right? I know that these guys are professionals. But in that moment, something rose up in me as a dad, and I wanted everybody in that hospital to know that, hey, this one is mine, okay? But can you put an extra bracelet on her, maybe? Can you write my name onto the bassinet, or maybe give her a little beard and some tattoos, like, so they know that she's mine? Like, she looks like me now. And I wanted everyone to know she was mine because I had plans for this little girl. She was going to grow up in my house. She was going to know my voice. She was going to be hugged, protected, cared for, and loved. Because that baby belonged to me. Hear me clearly, church. Holiness begins with belonging. Holiness begins with belonging. Before God tells his children how to live, he tells them who they are. So when God says, be holy because I am holy, he's not making some cold, impossible demand from far away. He's saying, hey, you belong to me. That one is mine. Your life isn't common anymore. You have been set apart for me. Your past doesn't get to define you. Your failure doesn't get to name who you are. Your sin doesn't get the final word anymore. Jesus does. And because we belong to the Father, we begin to take on that family resemblance. You know, children, they start to pick up things from their parents, right? Phrases, expressions, habits, mannerisms. Every once in a while, maybe your kid says something and you think, oh no, that was me. Hopefully not. Hopefully you're like, oh yeah, that was me. You know when it didn't come from class, right? That came from proximity. They were close to me and they heard that. They've been around you long enough that your life starts to rub off on theirs. And that's what Peter means when he says, be holy in all that you do. He's not talking about putting on a church version of yourself for just an hour a week. He's talking about the family resemblance of God showing up in your everyday life. Because holiness, it's going to touch how you work. It's going to touch how you treat your spouse, how you parent your kids, how you spend your money. Holiness is going to touch what you do when nobody's watching. It's going to touch how you talk to people when you're tired and frustrated. Because church, holiness is not a church costume. It's the life of God showing up in the children of God. And now, we need to be honest here. Because if holiness means reflecting the character of God, being set apart for God, being used and indifferent because of God, then every single one of us has a problem. We don't do that perfectly. I've been a pastor for 13 years. I still don't do that perfectly. Our resemblance, our family resemblance is inconsistent. And that stinks because we love Jesus, right? But we still feel that pull of the old life. So what do we do with that? That's often where people are like, oh yeah, I won't go to church because of hypocrites. Well, here I am. Well, we don't become holy by staying away from Jesus, okay? We don't become holy by just trying harder. We become holy by staying close to Jesus, no matter what. Jesus is not just the example of holiness. Jesus is the source of holiness. Because Jesus is the only one who has ever perfectly reflected the holiness of the Father. He's the true Son. He's the faithful one. He lived the holy life that we haven't lived. He died for our sins that we couldn't pay for. And he rose again on that third day so that his life could become our life. So holiness is not us trying to climb our way up to God, okay? Holiness is Jesus forming his life in us as we walk with him. And that matters because growth with Jesus rarely feels like a straight line. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Pastor AJ recently, he shared this last week in a sermon. He just got back from France not too long ago. And he started telling me about a labyrinth that was on this floor at a name that I would screw up, Cathedral in France. And he made sure he told me, he's like, hey, just so you know, a labyrinth, it's not a maze. Because a maze is meant to confuse you. It has dead ends, it has wrong turns in it. But a labyrinth has one path. And the goal is not to figure it out, but the goal of the labyrinth is to just keep walking. And there are moments on that path where you feel like you're getting closer to the center. And then suddenly the path turns and it feels like you're moving farther away from where you were, but you're not lost. You're still on that path. And here's the part that really got me. At this cathedral, he was telling me, he said, if you project that front rosé window down onto the floor, the center of the window lines up with the center of the labyrinth perfectly. In the middle of that window is Jesus Christ. Come on, even the architecture's preaching at this point. That's awesome. The point of the labyrinth, the point of the path, it's not the path itself. The point of the path is Jesus, following Jesus no matter what. So if holiness in your life feels slow, or if it feels winding, if it feels like you're closer one week and then, oh, next week I'm further away, don't quit walking. Guys, you're not wandering in circles, I promise you. You're being led to Jesus Christ. Because the Christian life is not a maze. Jesus is not here trying to trick us. He's leading us. Holiness is not perfection by tomorrow. Holiness is direction today. And that's why faithfulness matters so much. Because you don't have to sprint the labyrinth. You just have to stay on the path. Faithfulness is simply refusing to quit walking with Jesus. So when you fail, not if, but when, don't run from the Father. You run to him. When the old patterns of your life start pulling at you, remember who you are. Remember that identity. And when holiness feels impossible, don't try to produce it by just trying harder. We heard this last week. We abide in Jesus Christ. Because holiness grows in people who stay close to Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit begins to change us. Church, what remains is simply this question for you today. Will you stay close? Will you stay close to Jesus? Our word this year has been faithful, and faithfulness is staying close to Jesus in the good days and in the hard days. So I just want to remind you, stay close. Walk faithfully. Trust the Holy Spirit to set you apart, to make you holy. Here in a moment, we're going to sing one of my favorite songs. It's called Lord, I Need You. And there's one line in it that I want you to carry. Carry it with you this week, this month, this year, whatever it looks like. But the line I want you to take is this. Holiness is Christ in me. Holiness is not me trying harder. Holiness is not me proving myself. Holiness is Christ in me. So church, as we do every week, we're gonna sing, we're gonna bring, and we're gonna pray. And during that time of prayer, we're gonna have some prayer leaders up front who they want to pray with you. Because I know that some of you need to pray a prayer of repentance. You know, naming honestly the places that you've been conforming to old patterns instead of walking in who you really are today. You know, some of you need to pray for a fresh desire for holiness, that family resemblance of the Father, that would show up in your daily life. And I believe that some of us need to pray for gratitude, because you're already His. You're already loved. You're already invited close. You just need to remember who you are. So church, we're gonna have people up front here ready to pray with you. And wherever you find yourself today, come close to the Father. Follow Jesus, stay the path. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much. First and foremost, that you sent your Son Jesus to die on a cross for our sins, to pay that price that we could never pay. Jesus, we thank you for living that perfect life that we couldn't live, but that you said that you loved us so much that you were gonna die for us, but that wasn't the end, because 3 days later, Lord, you reminded us that death has no victory, death has no sting, and we have nothing to fear in death itself. So God, thank you for rising again so that our identity, that our holiness could be found in who you are. Lord, we love you. We thank you that holiness is not a checklist, but that it's us getting to be set apart for you, us getting to be different for you, us getting to be used by you because you love us so much. Lord, let us never forget that truth. We love you. We thank you for setting us apart, for doing what we can never do. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.